Do any of you like feeling powerless? Do any of you like feeling powerless? Do you know the secret to always being in control? My father told me when I was a boy, never let them see you flinch. Always be confident. A confident man can defeat an army. Don't bend to men's will. You bend them to yours. My name is Spurius Thuranius Viator, and I am a Roman soldier. I have shed my blood fighting for Rome. I have shed my blood fighting for you, Philippians, protecting the city of Philippi that I love. And because of all of my service and dedication to the empire and the city that I love, I was given the job of the jailer. Rome has given me the job to make sure all of the criminals in Philippi are kept locked up until their executions. It's a phenomenal job. But you have to excuse my clothes. They're not as nice as some of yours. In my line of work, I tend to get messy. My wife complains about it all the time. But she enjoys the perks of the job as well as the salary. One of the perks is connected to the jail is this large, lavish house. It has huge rooms, plenty, more than I could use for my two sons and daughter. It has this massive bath that we can all enjoy. And it comes with servants. All compliments of Rome, because they know that I will not lose a single criminal. I will not lose a single prisoner. They know they can trust me. They know that I am the one who bend men's will to mine. Late one afternoon, I received word that two prisoners would be sent to me. They were two Jews, Christians, part of this Jesus group. Their names were Paul and Silas. And as they were on their way to me, it was communicated what had happened. These two Christians had started a near riot in Philippi. Couldn't stand these Christians. Do you know what they believe? They believe that this man, Jesus, was God. And that somehow, even though he was stripped naked and crucified publicly, that he had come back to life. And that only he should be worshipped as God. I know, it gets better. Somehow these two Christians managed to cast out, to chase away the python spirit that spoke through one of the slave girls. I don't mind telling you, I wasted more than a few copper on that girl. And it was worth it. Her eyes would roll back. And then she would speak in three voices all at once. A high-pitched voice, a low voice, lower than mine, and a hissing voice like a serpent. It was the voice of the gods. And I knew why the python spirit had left this slave girl. It was because the gods wanted us to get rid of this Christianity. Unlike all the other gods, this God demanded that only he be worshipped. Unlike Jupiter and Saturn and Venus, he demanded that only he be worshipped. Our gods were waiting for us to get rid of this vile, disgusting, and intolerant religion. When Paul and Silas were brought to my jail, they were a bloody mess. Their eyes were swollen. Their limbs were cut apart. Magistrates had ordered that they be beaten in full view of the entire public. And as blood was caked on their faces, I looked at them. Why worship Jesus if he just makes your life harder? I knew how to deal with these Christians. I would bring them into the deepest part of my prison, a cell that had no windows, no light, no sound, nothing. as I was escorting Paul and Silas down, one of them spoke to me. He said, "My name's Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ himself sent us here to tell you about his gospel." No talking. But then the other one started speaking. "I'm Silas. Jesus Christ was crucified for the forgiveness of your sins." I hit him in the back of his ribs. I said, "Silence!" He would have fallen to the ground too, but Paul steadied him. "I hate these Christians. They come into our city with their fairy stories of their crucified God come back to life. If you ask me, the Roman Empire would be better off without them. Shame them. Tax them. Beat them. Throw them into jail and let their dead God save them." I threw them into the inner prison, and they stumbled over my stocks. Most people think that chains and stocks are just to make sure prisoners don't escape. They do that. But they're also instruments of torture. My stocks are like a comb that clamps down on each of the ankles. And it hurts so much to move in the slightest bit that it causes excruciating pain. As I left their cell, Silas complained that they were too tight. So I tightened the stocks even more. As I marched back up through the prison, into my quarters that separated the prison from my house, I could hear praying. Paul and Silas began to pray, and in their cells, they were praying out loud and saying things like, "Oh, Jesus, thank you that we can be here and share your gospel with the people of Philippi. Oh, Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood for us so we can be forgiven." I marched halfway back down. "Silence!" And yet they still continued to pray. "Oh, Jesus, thank you for giving us your resurrection power. Thank you that we can suffer for your name." I marched into their cells and I tightened their stocks until they were screaming. What good is it to worship Jesus if it only makes your life harder? Why worship this Jesus if it only makes your life harder? As I marched back up into my quarters, I started hearing singing. They began to sing. "God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon." They were in jail. "An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives." I drew my sword. I had enough of these two. And as I marched past the cells, one of the other prisoners, a thief who I had bound up with chains, yelled at me, "Ah, come on, let him go. We never get a concert down here." And then another one said, "They sound really nice." I put my sword away. These Christians are mad. You can't reason with madness. They'd lost their minds. I went to my quarters, locked the door, laid down on my cot, and went to sleep. About midnight, I was shoved out of my bed. I went to grab for my sword, but I was shoved again. And again, and again, and again, and my shield fell off the wall, and the ceiling began to crumble before me, and the door to my house fell off its hinges, the door to the jail fell off. The earthquake felt like it lasted for hours, even though it was only a few minutes. When it finally stopped, I rushed into the jail. The first cell I came upon, the door had been knocked off. I ran into where the thief had been bound up. And the chains were just broken pieces of metal. I turned around and ran into the next cell. That cell door had been knocked off. The chains in there had also been broken into little pieces. I understood how an earthquake could knock doors off their hinges, but how could an earthquake break apart chains? Do you know what this means? Do you know what this means for me? Any Roman jailer who loses his prisoner has to carry out their sentence. I wouldn't only die, but my family name would be shamed. My name would be worthless. My wife and children would be sold into slavery. Better to die an honorable death. In the darkness of that prison, I took out my sword. And I held the blade toward my stomach. And I lifted it up. And as I was about to plunge it in, a voice called out from the depths of the prison in the darkness. It was Paul. And he said, "Don't harm yourself. All of us prisoners are still here." I called out to my servants in my home. I said, "Bring a light." And when one of them came with a torch, I rushed down into the inner cell. I bent down to undo the stocks, but they had also been broken to pieces. True to his word, Paul and Silas stood there with all the other prisoners. I looked at these bloodied and battered Christians. "Who are these men?" I said to them, come to my home. And I escorted them past my quarters into my house. When I came into my home, I saw my wife and children and a few servants sifting through the rubble. And when I came in, they all stopped and looked at me. And I turned to Paul and Silas, and I said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And then Silas said, "Spurious, you are enslaved to your sin. You cannot help but to sin. That's why Jesus came and died for us and shed his blood on a Roman cross so that your sins could be forgiven. So that if you believe in him, that you trust in him, you believe that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's why Jesus came, to save you from your enslavement. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will come and fill you. Your heart is filled with nothing but rage and anger and hatred. The Lord Jesus will come and set you free and replace that anger and hatred and rage with love." And I looked at them. And I said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for torturing you, men of God." And I turned to my wife, and I said, "I'm sorry for hurting you, and for hurting the children. I believe, oh God, I believe Jesus is Lord. And then I heard a squeak from my wife. And she said, I believe too. If this Jesus can change my husband in one night, then he must be God. And one by one, each of my children agreed, and even my servants. We took Paul and Silas, and we cleaned their wounds. And thank God for that bath we had in the house, with Paul on one side and Silas on the other. They began to baptize us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in his death, and raised to live a new resurrected life. We set a meal before Paul and Silas, and as they ate, I suddenly realized, I wondered if I could keep my job because I was a Christian. And then I wondered if the prisoners were still in the jail after all this time. And as I wondered that, I felt this enormous peace overcome me. And I felt God fill my soul with joy. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth living just because he lives. Paul and Silas stayed in our house that night, and I realized it didn't matter. Nothing mattered anymore. As long as Jesus lived, I wasn't in control, but it didn't matter because he was, and I followed and served him. The next morning, the magistrates had been terrified of the earthquake too, and they sent messengers to have Paul and Silas released. Paul refused to go. Paul refused to go. They had violated his rights as a Roman citizen. He demanded the magistrates come and release them. And when they did, he told them about Jesus too. And that is why I've lost my job. But that's also why I've joined the church here in Philippi at Lydia's house. Why worship Jesus, even if he makes your life harder? Worship Jesus even if he makes your life harder, because you will see Jesus transform people's lives. Paul and Silas were tortured, and yet they still worshiped Jesus out loud. And because they did that, I saw the power of Jesus. It changed me. It saved my whole family, even my servants. It's worth it. My fellow Philippians, I don't know where you stand, but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I saw the power of Jesus. I saw the power of Jesus. Nothing can stop the power of Jesus. You can't silence the gospel. You can't arrest it. You can't throw it into prison. Nothing will stop it. I have never seen Jesus with my eyes, but I know that he lives because he changed my life. I have never seen Jesus with my eyes, but I know that he lives because he lives within my heart. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus, even if it makes your life harder, because then you will see Jesus change people's lives. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you want to see God change the world, it's going to be hard.